You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on Religious Liberty News, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexandra Alfano reporting the second week of August, 2024. Welcome to the show. For me, an inspiration and honor to bring you this weekly report, the Religious Liberty Report. We're a Christian legal organization hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, to better understand and articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. At South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, new programs are designed just for you. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, new programs designed just for you at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary in Deerfield Beach, Florida. With a master's in business administration, a master's in mental health counseling, and a doctor in ministry. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. These degree programs are available online or on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Over 20 programs on campus and online, 10 graduate programs, including 2 doctoral programs offered on campus. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling, from associate to doctoral levels, at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. One of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, providing quality education at an affordable price. For more information, visit them online at sfbc.edu. How public schools in the U.S. became a new battleground for religion and religious liberties. It is foundational to our democracy that we see it in every U.S. history course. The Constitution prohibits the government from endorsing an official state religion, or even favoring one religion over another. We've seen several states recently, mostly Republican-governed states, that are now requiring that public schools display the biblical Ten Commandments. For example, in Louisiana. In Oklahoma, there's a mandate that public schools teach the Bible. The Constitution's Establishment Clause at play with Christianity, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and U.S. public schools. It is reported that lawmakers in 29 states have proposed at least 91 bills promoting religion in public schools this year alone. This is being reported by Americans United for Separation of Church and State, an advocacy group backing lawsuits challenging Louisiana's law requiring that the Ten Commandments be posted in all of the public schools in the state. In 1980, a similar law was stricken by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1980, but now here in 2024, the state of Louisiana, this past June, becoming the first state to require schools to display the Ten Commandments. In Oklahoma, schools superintendent Ryan Walters has directed all Oklahoman public schools to teach from the Bible. Under Oklahoma's guidelines, teachers will be given a copy of the Bible and will focus on its historical context in Western society and American history. In both states, officials saying, acknowledging that the Bible, the Ten Commandments, are important to the understanding, a proper understanding of the birth of American government. Even though we do not live in a theocracy, the United States was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. In 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that school-sponsored prayer in public schools violated the Establishment Clause. The Supreme Court of the United States in 1962, ruling that school-sponsored prayer in public schools violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But now, the court has a 6-3 conservative majority. And religious liberty, religious rights, are bringing cases back before the court, important cases. You'll remember that in 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Washington State public school district violated the constitutional rights of a Christian high school U.S. football coach who was suspended for refusing to stop leading prayers with players on the field after games. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling in 2022 in favor of Coach Joe Kennedy. Let's review. Prayer winning at the U.S. Supreme Court in 2022. In a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of the former high school football coach Joe Kennedy to take a knee in quiet prayer after football games, even if it can be seen by students and the general public. An important decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in June of 2022 respecting the constitutional rights of all public school teachers and coaches to engage in personal prayer in public. A tremendous victory for Coach Kennedy and really for religious liberty for all Americans at the U.S. Supreme Court in June 2022. Then, a year later, in June of 2023, we have Lori Smith winning a major victory at the U.S. Supreme Court in the decision 303 Creative versus Elenis, a landmark victory for free speech and religious liberty in the United States. I'll remind you, the court in June of 2023, the U.S. Supreme Court sending a message loud and clear. Free speech is for every American. The government cannot force you to say or express something that you don't believe. In June of 2023, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling 6-3 in favor of Lori Smith, a Denver area website designer who was subjected to a Colorado state law that censors and coerces the speech of creative professionals whose religious beliefs do not conform to state accepted beliefs. You see, Lori Smith, through her business, her business 303 Creative, she would create unique and beautiful websites for clients. Naming her business 303 Creative because 303 is the Denver metro area code. Smith saying that she can serve everyone and anyone, but cannot use her design skills and creativity to express messages that violate her deeply held religious beliefs. However, under Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act, Smith was punished for refusing to celebrate same-sex weddings and only celebrating weddings consistent with her beliefs that marriage is between one man and one woman. The court, the U.S. Supreme Court, agreeing Justice Gorsuch writing that all manner of speech, from pictures, films, paintings, drawings, engravings, to oral utterance, and the printed word, they all qualify for First Amendment's protections. No less can hold true when it comes to speech conveyed over the internet. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling in favor of religious liberty in 2023. Another important decision from last year's Supreme Court term in the area of religious liberties, we had a case where the Supreme Court broadened protections for religious workers in a case involving a U.S. Postal Service mail carrier who refused to work on his Sabbath. And this decision, again, June of 2023, at the U.S. Supreme Court was unanimous. All of the nine justices rejecting a test that had long been used to determine what accommodations an employer must make for religious workers. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of August, 2024. A little review on the U.S. Supreme Court and religious liberty precedent cases coming before the court in the last two terms, 22 and 23. The U.S. Supreme Court speaking loudly and clearly, making it easier for religious schools and churches to receive public grants, exempting family-owned corporations from having to provide employee insurance coverage for women's birth control on religious grounds, and backing Christian Baker in Colorado, a Christian web designer in Colorado, each for standing up for traditional marriage. So to recap, in 2023, the U.S. Supreme Court made two important religious freedom decisions. In the first, the court held that Colorado could not require a religious web designer to create websites that promoted messages with which she disagreed. In the second, the court clarifying that employers must accommodate the religious practice of their employees, unless doing so would create substantial increased cost. Well, this second case under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, a federal law that requires employers to, quote, reasonably accommodate workers' religious practices so long as doing so would not impose an undue hardship on the company's business. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, 2024, was a less active term in terms of religious freedom cases. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court did not accept any religious freedom cases for review in 2024, probably because the court had already issued a number of important decisions clarifying the legal standards for assessing religious freedom claims. The Supreme Court justices could very reasonably believe that now the issue should lie with the lower courts or the state legislatures, better yet, and that state legislatures or even lower courts should apply those principles to resolve or avoid religious freedom disputes. From Title VII of the Civil Rights Act to Title IX of the Civil Rights Act, where in 1972, Title IX was enacted to provide equal opportunities for men and women and to prevent sex discrimination. But under the Biden administration, new rules for enforcing Title IX are infusing gender identity into the definition of sex and would apply sex discrimination protections to those who identify as the opposite gender. What this all boils down to, ladies and gentlemen, is forcing women to share private spaces with gender-confused males, mandating the use of preferred pronouns in schools and colleges, changes that are meant to govern Every K through 12 school and higher educational institution in the United States that is accepting federal taxpayer funding, public schools, but private as well, because even private educational institutions receive public monies quite often. So far, every state that has brought a legal challenge against the rewrite of the Biden administration to Title IX has earned and won an injunction staying these rules, suspending them, putting a break. The legal challenge is arguing, claiming that the Biden administration is overstepping its authority by redefining sex and gender, by extending discrimination protections to gender-confused individuals, usurping state sovereignty, and even the role of Congress to weigh in on this most important issue of our times. This rule, the Biden administration rule, redefining sex under Title IX of the Civil Rights Act, being blocked consistently across the United States by federal judges, including Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, all the way through Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. A radical rewrite of Title IX by the extremists in our government, seeking to strip protections, privacy, safety, fairness from women and girls in schools. A social experimentation in education that must stop. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of August 2024. Reporting that the Alliance Defending Freedom recently filed a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court asking the court to hear West Virginia's defense of the state's Save Women's Sports Act, protecting the safety of women and girls in West Virginia. Their right to fairness, privacy, are in danger of being eroded by radical ideologies. The Alliance Defending Freedom also filing an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court in a similar case, protecting Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Working to protect women and girls in sports and education, speaking up in court, defending the basic rights of women and girls, protecting women's sports, protecting women and girls from being subjected to male athletes invading their private spaces, locker rooms, showers, hotel rooms. We've seen it. We've all seen it, especially with the Olympics in Paris. Males being allowed to compete with female athletes. And headline after headline recounting injuries to young women caused by male athletes who really have no business being on the same court or field. Also, basic notions of privacy being violated. Safe spaces for women and young girls being invaded by male athletes. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, places where mothers and fathers should be confident that their daughters are safe. Places like bathrooms, showers, locker rooms. Cases regarding the rights of women and girls before the U.S. Supreme Court, challenging the Biden administration's unlawful rewrite of Title IX, forcing female athletes to compete with male athletes, sharing locker rooms, restrooms, and hotel rooms. This is wrong. Women and girls across the United States deserve fairness, the right to be rewarded for their hard work without fear that a male athlete will rob them of a victory earned. Women and girls deserve to have their dignity respected and their right to privacy and safety upheld. We will continue to monitor these cases before the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of West Virginia and the state of Idaho, seeking to protect fairness in women's sports. Also, the Liberty Council reporting that 14 near total abortion bans are saving thousands of babies across the United States after the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Dobbs returned the abortion issue to the people and their elected representatives in June of 2022, 14 states now have active near-total abortion bans, reducing elective abortions in those states almost to zero. Striking down the infamous Roe v. Wade decision and returning the issue to the states, to the people, and their elected representatives. 14 states now with near total abortion bans. They are Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, let's get into a little church history, shall we? The earliest Christian church was mostly a sect of Judaism that was seen as breaking away from the temple. In other words, the early church was seen as an offshoot of Judaism. Jesus had predicted the fall of the temple in 70 AD, and indeed, in April of 70 AD, 3 days before Passover, the Roman army, led by future emperor Titus, besieged Jerusalem, the center of Jewish rebel resistance in the Roman province of Judea. And after 5 months sieging the city of Jerusalem, the Romans destroyed the city and the second Jewish temple. The destruction of Jerusalem, marking a major turning point in the history of the Jews. Even the history of the church. As mentioned, the church was viewed as an offshoot of Judaism, the early church, the earliest Christian church. The fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD served as a catalyst for the growth of this Jewish sect that became known as Christianity. Quickly, Christianity was becoming its own religion in the ancient Near East. Fast forwarding to the 4th century, in 325 AD, the Nicene Council was convened by the Emperor Constantine. Technically, the state church was born at Nicaea in 325 AD. And this is memorialized by the Nicene Creed. You see, at this point, the state, the Roman state, began to take control of the Christian church. And this became the beginning, the genesis of the magisterial versus the sacramental strains of the early church. The Council of Nicaea, just in 325 AD, where the Roman Empire assumed control of the, quote, official church. Magisterial derives from magistrate, a term denoting ecclesiastical versus biblical authority. In the magisterial system, the authority of Scripture is subordinated to the magistrates, the priests, the popes. Thus began the magisterial sacramental line of the early Christian church, with the magistrates incorporating sacraments, liturgy, oftentimes assuming a preeminent position vis-a-vis Scripture. Thus began the magisterial sacramental line of the early Christian church. And from this we have the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. And from each of these there came many other denominations of Christianity. The counterposition has been referred to as the, quote, free church, where believers choose to enter the church after a personal confession of faith. This is a more, quote, evangelical rather than sacramental view of church membership. Some have called this the Pilgrim Church. Others refer to them as restorationists. Others yet call them reformers, seeking to restore the primacy of Scripture and church doctrine. Now, despite which strain of Christianity you may subscribe to, we must admit that there are true believers in both the free and the magisterial strains of the Christian church. True believers have existed and continue to exist in both strains of Christianity, as there are unbelievers and unsaved in both. Each also has strengths and weaknesses. The magisterial system, for example, has degraded the authority of Scripture, and the free church, on the other hand, has been rife with false doctrine and cultish deviations. Scripture clearly teaches that salvation and the true church are a result of a personal confession and testimony for Christ, not the decree of any ecclesiastical, earthly authority. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, second week of August 2024. Thank you for joining me on the report this week, covering a host of subject matter from U.S. Supreme Court precedent to Title VII, Title IX. And we've covered a little history in the last of the last 2-3 years regarding religious liberty cases. Bakers, web designers, football coaches, high school football coaches, U.S. postal carriers. The Religious Liberty Report can also be accessed on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for The Religious Liberty Report. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on this Religious Liberty Report. We'll be back with you, Lord willing, next week on this live and local Christian radio station. For me, an honor and inspiration to bring you this weekly report. The Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal organization working to help equip believers with the tools to take your faith to the culture. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture.